Hi, this is Eddie from Big Ed's Barbecue in Waukegan, Illinois, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network, sucker.
You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Unleash the geek in you.
Hello and welcome to Geekcast Radio. This is episode 321. I'm, of course, TFG1 Mike. Joining me is a man who is never out of pocket. He's someone who might be screaming at the sky if he's emotionally inclined to do so. He's put up with the podcast messes that I've made over the past 4 years. However, I am never nervous to discuss music with him. It is Terry Smith from Music Talks Podcast, which is a show that should make the entire world smile. He is my Blackstone Cherry brother, and we can truly have it all every time we record podcasts together. Hi, Terry. How are you?
I am all the better for that intro, Mike. And I also hadn't realized that this is episode 321.
Yep.
That's very good.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either until you just said it. But yes,
you do realize you're now going to have to stick around for a long time so that we then do the Springsteen episode, which will be episode 1, 2, 3, 4. Got Springsteen in nice and early.
I think AI is going to take over before that happens, sadly. Oh, and that intro, folks, was not brought to you by artificial intelligence. It was brought to you by my actually somewhat actual intelligence. I wrote that out like 20 minutes before the show because I love finding ways to incorporate song titles into intros. What'd you say?
That's a brilliant.
Today we are popping more cherries as it's Blackstone Cherry new album time. So let us start screaming at the sky. But first, the old good old Julie Chen thing with Big Brother. So the songs in between The Human Condition and Screaming at the Sky. Last year, you and I talked about the live show, but they hadn't. I don't think they had done the other. So we've got Chris, the lead singer of Blackstone Cherry, Chris Robertson, teamed up with Rockin' 1000, which I, up until he teamed up with them, they've been around since 2015, never heard of them at all. But what it is it's a thousand musicians that do songs. Apparently they went viral way back then when they wanted to get Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters in concert somewhere. But they released How We Roll with Chris on vocals, and I love that song. So
I haven't heard it.
You haven't? Oh, well.
Sorry about that.
We'll figure that out. And then we have after she passed. Originally, Blackstone Cherry was going to cover What's Love Got to Do With It by the iconic Tina Turner for the eighth album, and then she passed away, and then they did it as a non-album single, and all of the band's proceeds, all of what would have paid the four members of the band, they donated all that to the domestic violence. I think it was domestic violence, if I'm wrong in that, you know. But I was like, Blackstone Cherry, why is there a Tina Turner silhouette on a Blackstone? Oh, and I listened to that and I'm like, oh, okay.
They do like a cover version, don't they?
Yes, they do. And can nobody do a Blackstone Cherry cover like Blackstone? These guys. Oh, my God.
Well, the ELO cover they did at the gig I went to went mm-hmm. down a storm. And it was very, very good, I have to say. Very good.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, yes, the eighth studio album, Screaming at the Sky. You've told me off air that you are warming up to this. You keep warming up to it. How many times have you listened to it before we sat down to discuss it?
probably about 6 or 7, but actually listened to it. And by that, I mean sitting down and reading lyrics 3. And the reason I think that's important, one, I, and it'll probably come out as we talk through it, Mike, and you know this from previous stuff. I often ask my guests, are they music or lyrics? And the answer, of course, is everybody's both. But I do think that people tend to lean one way or another. And I'm a lyrics guy. And I actually think Chris's lyrics are really, really good.
They are.
And I always love any music where, you know, you've got a sort of musical thing going on and you can listen to it and just say, hey, yeah. And, you know, in the case of Blackstone Cherry, yeah, that's a sort of metal, heavy rock thing. Mentioned Springsteen before, you know, oh, yeah, that's upbeat. And then, you know, I always love the fact that, you know, Dancing in the Dark, probably the biggest Springsteen song, is actually a song about self-loathing. People don't necessarily work that one out. So I think he's a really good lyricist. And so I've gone from... I guess my initial reaction was, well, this isn't really my thing these days, but I bet it'd be great live, to, ooh, I actually like this. And as we go through track by track, the first track that really grabbed me was Out of Pocket. And again, you know, you look at, this is a song about the, as we call it in the UK, the cost of living crisis. And you think, oh no, there's nothing worse than a, you know, rock star sings about people not having enough money. But they do, you know, lyrically, I think he does a really good job. It's not preachy, and it's a fantastic song. So, yeah. I'm definitely warming to it. It's not yet made my top 10 albums of the year, but it's probably higher up the list than I expected, which is always lovely.
Well, I can tell you, I don't listen to a lot of, I don't listen to a lot of new albums unless it's artists I've known for years, kind of thing.
Yep.
And I'm not on the pulse of the new music revolution, which will come up later. And yeah, I can easily tell you this is my album of the year.
Yeah.
Anyone else that I love that puts out a new album for the rest of this year, this is easily the album of 2023 for me.
No, and I get that. And I mean, here's the other thing I would say is, you know, when I went to, you encouraged me to go and see him in Glasgow, and I'm really glad I did. But one of my thoughts was, when you looked at the set list, there was an awful lot of stuff from, I think, the first two albums. So it was like, is this a band who came out, had a fantastic start, but now things are sort of looking to fade away? And I think for them, I mean, this is what, their 8th album?
Yep.
You know, it may not be, and it may make it into my top 10. Watch this space. But, you know, this is an album, I think, that is absolutely going to turbocharge their career, because I don't think there's not a weak track on this. And genuinely, I would love to hear it live. So, you know, all credit to them. I think their last album was, certainly for me, was not of the same quality or interest, but no. And the thing I also love about it is it's 39 minutes long. It's brilliant. You know, I was running the world or a country, I would outlaw albums over 45 minutes. You know, I would make musicians, you're only allowed to release 45 minutes or less of music. But there you go.
That's actually really funny, because I just saw an article on Google or somewhere, something, about the longest songs over like the last 70 years. And I saw one on there where it's like, how did that I don't even remember what band it was, but it was like, it was a 20-minute song. I'm like, how do you have a 20-minute song that just like...
Well, you see, there's a difference between, because remember, I was brought up on prog rock and Yes and things like that. So Close to the Edge is 19 minutes long, but there's only 3 songs on the album, and the album comes in at 42 minutes.
Yeah.
It's on one slab of vinyl. That's all you need.
That's just crazy. So as we're recording this, you just missed them. They were back in Scotland. They were back in Glasgow.
I realized. Well, they also, apparently, I saw, played a gig down in Bristol at a club that they played on their first tour.
Yeah, they were just, and I think I remember I told you about, because part of the thing last time when we, just to remind the audience, when we recorded our December show last year, what the hell? No Ceiling, their 20th anniversary thing.
Yep.
I had told you then that, or I told you since then. So they were at the Hydro. You went to that show.
Yep.
After that, you said, "Oh, Laura was like, your lovely wife was like, oh, I wish I had gone with you." So as soon as you said that, I'm like patiently waiting for the tour to update. October 6th of this year, they weren't at the Hydro. They were at somewhere else, and I can't remember what it was, but literally they were just there October 6th.
Oh, wow, that's 2 days ago. I didn't realize.
Yeah, recording, yeah. Yeah, they were just there. I was like, I think in the and you probably didn't see them. I sent the message months ago. No, it's fine. I was like, okay, so you and Laura, you said Laura wanted to go. Here you go. And... Yeah,
well, here's a question for you. Where was the album recorded?
It was recorded in Kentucky, in Glasgow, Kentucky.
There you go. You
their see. Hometown. Yep. It was recorded at, I forget what the theater name is, but the reason why they recorded it at that theater was because the instruments sounded so good in that theater, they said. I remember, and Chris Robertson.
So it was the Plaza Theater, and I would agree. I actually think... the overall sound, the drum sound's brilliant. Mm-hmm. It reminded me, if you go back to Led Zeppelin 4, mm-hmm. If you listen to When the Levee Breaks, they recorded John Bonham's drums. They were at this country house. So it was one of those, you know, you walk in and there's the massive staircase and the double height ceiling and all of that. And they literally put the drum kit there. And that's why, if you listen to the drum sound on that, somebody described that drum sound as like people dropping dustbins off the top of a skyscraper.
Well,
so I think they've got that same boom, you know, just.
Oh, yeah. Between the guitars on this and John Fred's drums, and the change in this is they got a new bassist. So yep. John Lawthon, who was the original fourth member of the band bassist, he decided to leave after the Human Condition album, which is fine. That's, you know, things happen. They bring in from Otis, Steve Jewell Jr. And Steve Jewell Jr. and Ben, I've said for years, ever since Karen and I saw them in Illinois back in 2018, Ben Wells, his name is not just, it's Bouncing Ben Wells. That kid just bounces across the stage with his guitar and plays at the same time. You add Steve in there now, the two of them, they're like axe murderers with these guitars, and they're just running around like the.
Well, this is weird because, and I must give credit. So it's a guy called Andy Hawes, wrote a great review in Metal Planet Music. His review about When the Pain Comes says, starts off like a 70s classic rock track with strum clean chords before a monstrous riff bounces in. And he then goes, it really does bounce. Just yeah. Listen to the way the low pedal note rhythmically bounces against the rest of the riff. Brilliant.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, yep. Absolutely. And the one thing these guys have always known how to, they know how to do almost everything they do, obviously, but the one thing they have always done very well is opening and closing tracks. You hear that opening to Screaming at the Sky,
yeah.
You get, I mean, it's like sitting in front of a speaker, you get blown back. Like, you don't have to have it on high volume. You could just have it at a normal volume level. And it will blow you out of your seat.
No, I agree. And, you know, all joking apart, and I'm actually not joking about the 39 minutes. You know,
I know.
You look, I'm just looking now. I think the longest track is Who Are You Today at 3:44. So another thing that I think they've done incredibly well, as you say, they know how to start. They know how to finish. There is a lot of subtlety and changes in here, even though it's, you know, metal, heavy rock. And there's not any fat, is there? You know?
No.
So I think they've done a great, great job of that.
So I think you can go ahead and hit us with that screaming track, and we'll discuss it.
Okay, there it is.
That backbeat, god damn! The guitars, the drums, the everything. God.
Well, I said also lyrics. So I'll tell you what, in amongst all of that, I mean, I just do think it's again, that review I reference describes it as an out of control juggernaut, annihilating everything in its path and showing no mercy. But I love albums that start with a sort of statement of intent. And musically, you know, as you say, that great start is like, you know what you're going to... But look at that first verse that says, "Oh Lord, get me a witness. I need to say what I'm feeling. We've had enough of this shit. You know, we all need some healing." You know, there's the album in four lines lyrically.
Almost. Pretty much, yeah.
And I say that as a compliment. That just
no, says, absolutely okay, it is. Yeah.
You know, this is what you're going to get. This is what I'm talking... And, you know, I need to say what I'm feeling. And I think he does. And yeah, just 3 minutes, 24 of greatness.
Yeah, I mean, well, you look at what all of us have gone through the last 3 years, 3-4 years or whatever it is, you know, the end of 2019, the beginning of 2020, the end of the world, you know, all that. The fact that they were able, like, do I love the human condition? Go back and listen to our episode, folks. I love the human. It's not just because I love them, but I love the human condition for how they were able to pull that off.
Yeah.
In the middle of a pandemic. Now we're sort of, kind of, quote unquote, out of it, sort of, a little bit. I don't know. I still hear several people say that they've gotten COVID and things like that.
Yeah, I think I had it again a couple of months ago.
Yeah. You had again? How many times have, not to get to,
that
wow.
That would be three. I didn't actually test, but it was afterwards that I thought, hold on. Those symptoms, man. I sort of recognize, really.
Yeah. It's like, I've had this, but this is a strange and unwelcome feeling. And again, these guys, they know what's that line from whatever, like, we're going to give you whatever we need to give you when we think you need to have it, kind of like, you know what I mean? Like the whole thing. And that's what these guys are. These guys are giving us music at lyrics, tunes, all that, when we need it, and it says so. You
know, yeah, it talks to you, and that's why I say I think the lyrics are really very strong. And I believe he also lost his father a couple of years ago, didn't he?
He lost his dad right as they were doing Human Condition, I believe.
So obviously feeds in as well. But a great start.
All right, let's not get nervous, but let's get nervous.
I love your radio intros.
Wow.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, see, I'm getting to like it even more doing this.
Well, folks, there are many things that I can't convince him of, too, that I'm hoping I can convince him of soon. But I'm pretty sure I've talked Terry into just loving these guys for the most part.
Well, you know, there's a real lesson in here in that, you know, I think it's so, particularly when you're as old as me, it's so easy to get into, that's not my thing. Oh, I don't like that. And actually, the other thing is really listening to stuff. So doing this is making me really listen. So I'll tell you what I got in there. There's two things other than, you know, I said that Out of Pocket was the first track. I'm loving Nervous as well. And I do think that has probably got everything Blackstone Cherry Tree does in it, hasn't it? I mean, just ticks every box. But again, I said I'd focus on lyrics. There's a reason why lyrics aren't poetry. And the reason is that they get put to music and then they get delivered in a different way. So look at those lines of, sometimes I wonder why I even try when nothing ever seems to change. That's how they read. Listen to how they play and sing it. It's brilliant.
Yep.
And the other fantastic couplet that is in there is right at the end that says, where are we? Come tomorrow when I'm older, I will be somebody's shoulder. That is a great couplet, But and here's now I'm probably going onto dangerous ground here, because that is also the first song, and it happens a few times. And again, I say it as a compliment, not that they're being derivative. But do you know what I can hear sometimes in Blackstone Cherry is Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I would have to listen to more Chili Peppers. I haven't done that in a while, but I could see it.
Well, I think what it is, and I think it's probably a compliment to the bass player, there's that bass, you know, so sort of heavy but melodic, and with the bass in, there's just a few bits where it's like, ooh, you know, go and listen to something like Californication, and it's a beautiful song that's then played quite heavy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's the thing that came up for me.
Yeah, Californication is not as heavy as 11 out of these 12 tracks are, but I can see that. When it comes to Nervous though, man, like, you know, you mentioned Come Tomorrow When I'm Older, I'll Be Somebody's Shoulder. You know what got me?
Go on.
I'm not perfect, I'm just a person, and I stay fucking nervous.
Yes.
So for me, with the way that I've lived my life, being born with cerebral palsy, being the whole cerebral part of the palsy, I've mentioned this on every episode we do. I don't mean to do it, but I mention it in almost every episode in case anyone, this might be their first episode. 2019, I had to have brain surgery. Turns out I was born without a piece of my brain. I do not have a corpus callum, which is the thing in the back, in the hemispheres, which divide, instead of having two lakes, I have a giant pool of stuff in my head. So I've always dealt, and because when I was a kid and I didn't know any better and no other kids in the 80s knew any better, of course, some kids are just cruel, I got made fun of a lot. I got picked on a lot. And this song basically is my entire emotions from the time I was 6 until the time I was probably in the mid-20s. You know, you look at the lyrics in this that basically say, where is that he says, I get nervous, scratch the surface. Is anybody listening? I feel worthless. I've felt worthless I'm 43, probably half my life.
Wow.
Maybe. Wow. I don't know, because it just like it. With the cerebral palsy, how am I? I'm not a normal person, and that's okay. But I'm not I can't go out and do day labor. I can't go out and be a police officer or any my mom and dad weren't like, oh, we want him to be a doctor. That's never going to happen, sir. But they weren't like that, obviously. But it's just one of those things where this song reminds me so much of not having to be in that traditional, here's a married couple, they have a son or a daughter, they want, obviously all parents want the best for their children, but they want their son and or daughter, let's say from the 80s, they want them because that was the thing, but I want him to be a doctor, I want him to be a lawyer, I want him to do the whole overachiever
parenting
thing. And I listen to this song and it just hits me to the point where, like I said before, the lyric that sticks out is, I'm not perfect, I'm just a person. I try my best every day. I have good days, I have bad days.
Yeah, and
just everybody else. And I think the stigma of, oh, you should hide your bad day. No, screw that. Fuck that. If I'm having a bad day, I'm not going to go off on somebody, but I'm like, hey, I'm having a bad day, or this is going on, or that's going on. Or I didn't say this earlier with Screaming at the Sky, but there were a couple of times when I would have bad days just because of things that might have happened to me back when Karen and I were living in Illinois, where we lived at the house that she had owned and whatever else. And it was like our neighbors were 500 feet apart from us. So if I wanted to go ahead, literally I did a few times. I went out in the driveway and I just started screaming.
I'm not laughing. I mean, it's,
I know.
I mean, I think it's the genius of songwriting, isn't it? That's what the song means to you. I mean, I guess My only observation is that all in our different ways, we all get nerveless. We all feel worthless. You know, everybody, to quote Mr. Springsteen again, everybody's broken. We're just trying to work our way through it. And, you know, I think it would be easy, wouldn't it, to look at Chris and say, well, there you go, you know, he's a rock star and he's doing all this. And you know, that line of I get nervous, scratch the surface, is anybody listening? You know, I suspect that's a real fear for him. It's interesting, you look at the first two songs and silence comes up in both of them. So, yeah, you know, there's the pretense that we're all living this lovely life is what it is, which is a pretense. So it's I think that's why I think he and the band have done such a good job on this, which is, you know, serious, challenging songs and lyrics don't have to be depressing.
Exactly.
You know, yeah, and I think that's absolutely what they do. And the more it surfaces those issues, the better. Yep. Which probably links us to track three, which has the jovial, happy-go-lucky title of When the Pain Comes.
Yes, When the Pain Comes. Oh, boy. I'd like to see the pain go, Terry. That's what I'd like to see. Can pain just go away? Like, come on.
Should we take a listen?
Yes, sir.
Those drums are amazing.
The drums are amazing. And that bass line that bottoms out before he says, when did it get so cold in here?
Yeah.
At the end of that first kind of chorus. Wow.
But great track. Oh, great man. Track.
Yeah, absolutely. This is just, they are on fire.
I tend to agree.
They're just on fire. I mean, sometimes we take it so far to find out who we are when the pain comes. I will not be afraid. I am here each day. If that isn't me, like, again, I see myself in every almost lyric I ever see, but like, you know this, and the audience probably remembers, but the last couple of years of life has not exactly been the greatest.
Nope.
Not just because of the pandemic, but because Karen passed and had to pick up and do all kinds of stupid life situations that I didn't think I was going to have to deal with and all that. And like I said earlier, right before we started the track was, I'd like to see the pain go sometimes. It can come, but let it go too.
Yeah, but also you've got a set of lyrics that recognize that, but also defiant. You know, I will not be afraid because I am here to stay. When the pain comes. So, song.
Absolutely great song. And then we get the lead-off single.
So was that the first single, Out of Pocket?
Yeah, Out of Pocket was the first thing they released. It was like, hey, new music coming from us. And yes, Out of Pocket was the...
I can see... Well, I said at the start, it was the track that first sort of got me. So I can see. So let's take a listen.
There you go, folks. Out of Pocket, the first single off the new album, Screaming at the Sky, was released a little while ago. And this song hit me like a ton of bricks.
And a lot of people, I would have thought.
Oh, I'm sure. Most definitely. I am sure. And those first two lines, if that doesn't say anything about where we were and where we are now, again, going back to the fact that the band made an album during the pandemic and now they're making one almost out of the pandemic, I need a minute to get over myself. My system seems to be overloading. I think all of our systems were overloaded for the last 3 years.
Yeah, it was certainly challenged.
Very. Everybody has faced so many varying challenges, and some people are. I mean, that's what life is, right? We always face challenges. But the last 3 years, which have felt like 50, really challenging.
Yeah, well, I'm sure I've quoted this to you before, but I'm going back to my lyrics thing. One of my favorite lines ever is from Tom Waits that says, "There ain't no devil, there's just God when he's drunk." And he's certainly been drinking for the last few years. Now, it's interesting you said those first two. My favorite two lines are actually the chorus, because I think I'm tired of feeling out of pocket like I've become the fucking problem. You can put that mm-hmm. on a t-shirt, because I think there's millions of people who are feeling like that. And then if I put my pompous English lit degree hat on, you've got those two lines followed by, "I got to find a way to stop it before the fruit becomes rotten," which is an interesting half rhyme between problem and rotten. That is very clever, Chris. So well done.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that and also that song is another one where, and I promise I won't mention it again, it's the leading up to the chorus, the verses, then that's probably the bit where I went, "Oh, Red Hot Chili Peppers." And then that chorus comes in and it's like, bam. Mm-hmm. So, And a great, I hadn't realized that was
very
the first
much
single.
So.
Great single. In the old days, Mike, that would have been a top five single in the 80s, I think. At least top five.
Oh, hands
maybe
down.
Maybe a number one.
Yeah. Most likely. Yeah, most definitely. I love that track. And it doesn't take me out of the track or anything else, but you know how most bands have been for the last 70 years. They'll do music videos. Most bands will do two videos nowadays. They'll do a lyric video so you can find out what the lyrics are from them directly. And then they'll do a specific separate music video. Sometimes music videos have a story behind them. Sometimes it's just the band playing the track. And this, I don't understand the video to this.
Well,
I understand the song.
I will. As soon as you mention it, I will go and look. But I never watch, and I've never liked music videos. Never liked them.
It just depends on what it is. I mean, if the video tells the if the video is being synced to the song, so it tells the story. But I watched the video for Out of Pocket. And I'm like, what is the video trying to say that I'm not getting? Because I understand the song, I just don't understand the video content.
I will go and watch it and let you have my views or not. Should we move on? Show me what it feels
like. Yes, we are moving on to Show Me What It Feels Like.
There you go.
Every track is just, it's its own masterpiece. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, that to me, it feels like, in a good way, a little bit of a change of pace. It's just mm-hmm. a bit different. And given I've been so positive about the lyrics, it has the only clunky line, I think, in the whole album, which is, you do it right, Cleopatra style. I think that's a bit clunky, Chris. But I love the sort of groove of the track. And I said, just feels that bit different to break things up, given that I did notice that I think every review I read mentioned that there isn't a ballad on the album.
I mean, there's definitely
normally ballads are like there's light and shade on the album, but there isn't like the slow song, which is fine. But I just think that breaks things up a bit.
Yeah, and with this, and it's funny you mentioned that you say that line is clunky. Half the people don't know what he's saying. They couldn't decipher it. So I add a buddy of mine, Mr. Todd Klein. He is one of, if not the person that started the Cherry Heads group on Facebook. Cherry Heads has been going on for years now. I messaged him an hour before the recording because I've been looking at Spotify. I've been looking at every lyric website I know to look at, and they all get the line wrong. So I have submitted a correction to AZ Lyrics because they think it says clear cut and style. And I'm like, no, that's not what the hell it says. It makes it even worse if you do the wrong thing. So Todd sent me a picture of the album booklet with what the lyric, because most album booklets and all, but most will have the lyrics in them. And yeah, so you say
so it is Cleopatra then.
Yeah, it is. So
well, see, my lyrics are on my Rune software. They have got it right.
That's good. So you look at the song. It's kind of a very fast-paced rock love song. It's not really a rock love ballad or anything like that. But I could be wrong, but the line before it is, I've been corrupted by you. Seduction made me a fool. You do it right. You do it right. Cleopatra style. So I think what they're trying to say here is she was a seductress and they don't mind it.
Well, also, you see, you're on a specialist subject of mine now, because if you look at your Shakespeare and Antony and Cleopatra, Cleopatra mm-hmm. did seduce Antony and corrupt him, and that's the reason he lost power.
Yep.
So there you go. So yep. Maybe it's cleverer than I gave him credit.
I think it's just people not hearing it right, even though as soon as I heard it, I'm like, oh, that's okay. That's interesting.
Well, don't worry. I always remember, since I've been Loving You by Led Zeppelin, and for, I think, something like 40 years, I always wondered about the line of, my tizzy felt like rain. And then I heard Plant do it acoustically and realized it was, my tears, they fell like rain. But I'd spent 40 years wondering what his tizzy was.
I probably would have spent 40 years not wanting to know.
Well, there is that. I didn't spend that much time. I didn't spend that much time worrying about it, Mike.
But show me what it feels like. I love, again, if these guys, like, I know some bands do this, not all bands, but some bands will release instrumental. I have wanted instrumental versions of every album that Blackstone Cherry has ever done, and it has never been more apparent to me than right now, because I don't think I've ever heard a backing track. Like, I don't think I've heard guitars, drums, and bass played the way that they're playing and all. And he's so fast. He doesn't turn into like a rap battle or anything, but the show me what it feels like is like, oh, wow, that's fast. And I really dig it. It's cool. It's fun.
No, you're right. And again, there is a Led Zeppelin connection, because when they remastered, or Jimmy Page remastered their albums, there was then the bonus albums on, I think I'm right in saying, on everyone. You got a number of instrumental tracks, which were fascinating to listen to without mm-hmm. without the vocals, because you just hear yeah. things differently. So, yeah, I think that'd be good. Is it time to move on to Raw?
Yes, and I was so I wasn't confused, but I was like, Roar, what are they doing? And it's basically their way of just acronyming and shortening a song title. It's Raindrops on a Rose.
Yep, it is indeed. Here we go. And no tizzies have been involved in the making of this track. A question for you, Mike.
Yes.
Has anyone covered Blackstone Cherry songs?
I think there is is it Florida Georgia Line? I think Florida Georgia Line, which is a country band, I think they did Stay. But Stay was from 2011's Between the Devil and the Deep Blue Sea. I don't think anyone has, not professional artists that I know. I'm sure plenty of people have put their YouTube camera on and sure. said, hey, I'm going to whatever, but I don't think so.
No, the reason for asking the question, and I don't think this is the only song, but I could see somebody covering that. And actually, I mean, I think it well, we'll talk about favorite songs in a minute, but I love that song. Again, I think the lyrics are brilliant. Rain drops on a rose and then teardrops on a grave is just a fantastic image. But that is the first song where I feel the need to play a guitar along with it.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
It's just, but I could see somebody doing a very different version of it because I just think it's a great set of lyrics. But yeah, but I just love that wah-wah guitar. Fantastic.
Yeah, it is absolutely fantastic. And favorite lines off of this are, it's once again going to my own emotional, some people might say bullshit, but some of my own emotional stuff. Raindrops on a rose, they're easy on the eyes, but heavy on the soul. Like you mentioned, teardrops on a grave and all that. Like this song is like, oh, hi, Karen isn't here anymore, but she's still kind of with you, sort of. Not the way you want her to be, but it is. Like, it's very much like, oh, right, this is like almost every song that they've done to this. I mean, Scream to the Sky is a little different, but like there's some sort of emotional something that I can tie this to. And oh yeah, absolutely. And you love your connections.
Oh, I love my connections. And remember, if it's your emotional stuff, it's your emotional stuff. What anybody else thinks of it is actually bullshit for them. To them.
I know.
So I may be jumping ahead here, but I mentioned favorite. Do you have a favorite track? If you had to pick one.
We haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, well, that's okay. We'll wait. We'll wait then. That's fine. I said I might be jumping ahead.
Haven't gotten there yet, but I will say that the entire album, front to back, I think the only one I don't listen to as much as the other 11 is track 10, but we will get there. But generally from beginning to end, this album is, it runs the gamut of stuff.
No, I agree. I agree. And you know, my time on it, you mentioned my connection. You know, I always use the phrase, I'm going to push you on. I am going to push you on because I've got 31 minutes. So let's take a listen to Smile World. So if I was still, and I might do this, but if it was still in the days where I used to customize songs to become my ringtone or my alarm, the chorus from that might just get in there because I think that's great.
Yeah, you know what's funny is I still do that, but nobody calls me.
Well, yeah, one of the reasons I don't do that is that I don't turn my phone on. my phone's always – one of the joys of not working, Mike, is that people phone me, and my view is if it's important, you'll leave a voice message, and then I'll phone you back when I choose to because I don't need to have my phone on anymore. But seriously, I mean, the whole gratitude movement – sadly, it's become a bit of a cliche, but it's an important part of my life. I love the fact that he refers to it as like the gratitude disease, but I'm going to make it infectious. But yeah, again, a bit like, what was it? Out of Pocket, you know, that is the positive, uplifting song without being preachy. And it's a great, it's just a great riff and a great chorus. Yeah. So, well
done. So, yeah, absolutely. A couple of things. Number one, I was the first person. So this is what I mentioned earlier about lyric video and actual video, whatever else. They put the lyric video out. But the album, like, it was when it was this, because Smile World was the third. Yeah, it was Out of Pocket, Nervous, then Smile. Yeah, Smile World was the third single. So they put the lyric video out once they released the single. None of the lyric website, the A to Z Lyrics, which is my favorite one, will say, oh, these lyrics will be posted once the album releases, blah, 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 blah. I went through and I transcribed all the lyrics. I submit. I actually have my TFG one. These lyrics provided to us by blah, blah, blah.
Oh, well done.
Yeah. So this song is one of two that I know of that they've done this with. Back in 2018 when they released the Family Tree album, there's a song on there, My Last Breath. Their video for that song is they asked their fans, because that's one of the number one things with this band is because the fans do so much for them and they do so much. It's a whole circle of life kind of thing. And back then, they asked the fans, tell us in a video or whatever, or a photo or whatever, what you would spend your last breath on, because that's the point of the song.
Right.
But this one, they're like, tell us, world, what makes you smile? And again, I think I had messaged you and said, hey, you and Laura should get a video in on this so you can be in the video. It's okay. It's fine. It's not that big of a deal. Missed opportunity, whatever. But the video for this is another one that I will suggest to you to watch because it's everybody over multiple social, Instagram, Facebook, like whatever makes them smile. That, again, going in with the lyrics of smile world, start living, all this and all that. Lines.
What a great idea. What a great idea.
Oh, they have wonderful ideas. Okay, so...
And by the way, I'm almost as bad at reading my messenger as I am at answering my phone. Seriously.
Well, you know, and you'll have to forgive me if I end up becoming persistent in a couple of years.
It's the only way to get through to me.
I know. So three lines off of this one that I love. The last line is more of like a wow, they just made me think. Well, the first two are, it's you, like I said before, it's your world, start living, one life is all we're given. So one life is all we're given, we just have to make the best of it, smile world, all that. And then the line that jumps out at me, because I've been wondering about this a lot lately in the last couple of years, is... So, you know, I've got 15 years of podcasting. I guess I'm leaving that behind.
Yep.
You know, I've got, you know, the family members that I've had. I've got the experiences that I've had or whatever else. But it's not like I'm passing anything. I've said this to you before. I've said this to the audience before with the cerebral palsy. One of the reasons why I don't have kids, I don't want any kids to go through what I went through 40 years ago as a kid. You know what I mean? So that's what – so like – what will you leave behind? It's like, oh, but no, I love this song. Is so quite literally infectious. And it's like, yeah, like smile world, start living, like, let's go.
And all I will say, Mike, is that over the next 23 years, the question about what will you leave behind will become a much bigger question. Seriously. It's actually one I enjoy, and mortality and all of that. But yes, yeah, another great set of lyrics.
Yep.
On to Who Are You Today? No, on to The Mess You Made, which I guess I just did. You know, listening to that, one of the things that hit me was, because I think, again, if I say heavy rock metal, one of my things would be, yeah, well, it's a bit repetitive, isn't it? They've packed so much in here. I mean, I just looked at the timing there. I think in the first minute, you've got like three big musical changes. And then even at the end, that last sort of 3 seconds isn't just an ending. They've done something to it. So
I don't want to say this because I'm going to say it, but I don't say it to be negative of the band. I don't know what instrument they're using. I don't want to call it what I'm going to call it, but I'm going to call it that anyway. When he says look at the mess you made, I feel like they it's not auto-tune. But there's something
they've done,
behind.
Yeah, it's vocally processed or vocal processing. Yeah, they've done something.
But I love it. Like
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. The fact that they've done it for like 3 seconds shows real attention to detail.
Yeah, absolutely. Lines off this that I caught up and lost my love. Now there's nothing left of us. Karen and I didn't lose our love. In the traditional sense of a breakup song, but essentially The Mess You Made is a breakup song.
Yeah. That would be my reading. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the only other thing that I've got is that review I mentioned. And so I'm thinking this is high praise, is that the bass is described as, what does it say? Lemmy opening with some very Lemmy-esque bass.
Yeah, these guys have like their roots and their inspirations are just all over the place, and that does not surprise me. And like I said, the addition of Steve Jewell Jr. as the second, or I don't say as the second, but as the bassist, guitarist, whereas Ben is the other guitarist, it's just added so much flavor. Like, I love all their other albums for the most part, but this album, the reason why it's so special is because you've got somebody brand new to the band who has come in like a wrecking ball and really just knocked it out of the park. Like, he's been there for the last 20 years, and he hasn't. He's only been there for a couple of years.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it, when you've had a band that have been around for a fair amount of time and so stable, then to lose a member, you know, one of two things happens. Either it's really damaging or somebody else comes in and it really gives them a kick. And you're far closer to this than me, but it feels like, you know, he's definitely given them a kick.
Oh, he definitely has.
And by the way, on Lemmy, I saw Lemmy when he was the bass player in Hawkwind.
Oh, wow.
And by the way, he then got sacked from Hawkwind for taking too many drugs, which... Hawkwind were the druggiest band there was, so to get sacked for taking too many was just incredible. But he then went on to do this Motorhead thing that was quite popular, I believe.
I think it had some lasting effects for a while.
So now we go to Who Are You Today? That's the nearest to a long fade out they've had.
Yeah.
It must have been 2 seconds.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know who I am today. I don't know who I was yesterday, and I don't know who I'll be tomorrow. But, man, that song. Whew.
Well, there's two things in there for me. One, going back to your earlier comment about what you leave behind, the line, money fades while memories stay, is pretty good advice as far as I'm concerned. And the second thing is, and you will know, I do my Christmas show with Stephen Routledge to choose our albums of the year. And in fact, I'm seeing Stephen tomorrow for a catch-up. But Stephen loves his metal. I mean, really heavy metal. And so there's always a metal album, and it almost always has screamo vocals on. And I just don't, I can't do screamo vocals. However...
This is as close as you get.
The Who Are You Today is sort of screamo light, and I really like it. So besides anything else, Mike, you've enabled me to turn up and say to Stephen tomorrow, maybe I see a place for screamo, which I think he'll fall off his chair, frankly.
I will send you, because they uploaded, I don't think they've done a video for it yet, but they uploaded all the music visualizer, whatever they do on YouTube. I will send you Who Are You Today so you can send to Steven. You'd be, just be like, listen to this and know I kind of understand it now.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I get it. So, yeah, that's goodness, isn't it? That's good. Yeah.
Now, favorite off of this for me is years ago, there was a top 40 station that rebranded as 997 WDJX Louisville's new music revolution. So listen to a new revolution as soon as I was like, before it's watered down and it's all convoluted, I'm like, he's talking about the music industry.
Oh,
he's probably not. That's just my interpretation of it. Let's take a listen to the new revolution before it's all watered down and it's all convoluted. They're probably not talking about that, but that was my
interpretation. I like that. Cool.
And then favorite line, reflections change, then fade away. So who are you today? Basically, you know, who are you? It goes, I'm actually, you know, we talk about, you know, you pulling the Bruce card. I'm going to pull the Jesse Jackson card. Jesse Jackson, our good friend, he believes, and I kind of believe he's still got me some convincing to do. But every point in your life, you change, you evolve, you grow, which you do, but I still affirm that I'm the same person I was 20 years ago than I am right now. even though things have changed, my mood has changed, but my core is still my core. Mm. But Jesse is like every step of your life, it's a different part, it's a new part of you. So the question here is, who are you today? Who are you going to be today? What kind of person are you going to be? So I thought, you know, reflections change and fade away. Like, oh, okay, I get it. They're going for the jugular, and they're going to go for the jugular even more later.
So that is probably the subject of another podcast, but I'm just trying to think, let me get this right. So there is a brilliant poem called Hokusai Says, and in it, it says, keep changing. You just become more of who you are. Which okay. is a line I've always liked.
That is a good line.
So, yeah, I suspect Jesse also is being inspired by Mr. Springsteen, because one of my favorite interviews is when he turns around and so he certainly subscribes to that view that says, you know, what you have to recognize is that when you get in a car, so if you take car as an analogy for life, you know, when you get in a car, all of the various versions of you are in the car. And then he looks and he says, you just need to make sure you've got the right one driving.
Well,
which I've always liked that.
And it's funny you bring up that analogy, because with the cerebral palsy, I've never been able to drive. I've always been the Miss Daisy.
Driving in inverted commas then, Mike. Driving in inverted. Well, now, I'm getting really curious, because we still haven't got to your favorite track, and there's only three left.
Uh-huh.
I'll play Not Afraid. You're not jumping at that then, so let's play Not Afraid.
What are they doing? The ending notes to the last, what is it, two or three tracks? It's like, it's so good. It doesn't just fade. It just like, oh, man, what are they doing?
Disappears into the ether. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. Yeah. And again, that's the joy of doing proper listening, I think. You just notice things. There was a track before I meant to say where listening on headphones, you can hear that the drums, you can hear them hit and then echo, but yeah, another great song. And what a way to start lyrically. I got 2 feet in a world full of landmines, which is a great image, and sometimes love turns into a landslide.
Yep,
loving it.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, the thing that stood out to me was, I'm not afraid of life without you, and by the way, I wear my scars across my heart. Again, I'm beating a dead horse here, but yeah, I was kind of afraid of dealing with life without Karen, but still, you know, where I was 2 years ago was at the point of, oh crap, what am I going to do now? And I just had to, I couldn't stop. Like, you go through any traumatic experience, you just want to stop and feel your emotions and whatever.
Yep.
Well, I had to find a new place to live. I had to do this. I had to do that. I had to do all this stuff. I had to do all the adult stuff that you have to do when you're a single person again, and you don't have the person that you're supposed to spend the next 50 years of your life with anymore. And 2 years later, I'm still, I don't want to face this life without her, but there's nothing I can do about it now. I guess I'm not afraid. I don't know. I just like that line. It's a good line.
No, absolutely. And, you know, one of my favorite phrases, my wife uses it a lot, is this will pass. But also the fact that when you have a loss, you know, you have a loss like yours. I remember a friend saying they'd lost their wife. And, you know, their phrase was, it doesn't get any easier, Terry. You just get better at handling it.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very honest and truthful. And I suspect the reality. So.
Yeah. I have good days and I have bad days, just like anything else. But like, yeah, it doesn't get easier, but it
gets the feeling more manageable. Fades it.
Yeah, sometimes.
So we're now down to 2 tracks.
Uh-huh, last two. I've been hopeless all my life, buddy.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have. This is my anthem. This is my anthem song for the last 43 years.
Bollocks. Here it is.
Thank you.
Fades on this album. Oh my God.
So I'm guessing that's your favorite track.
It's, yeah, probably number one, because like I said at the beginning, you know, you've said this to me, Jesse has said this to me, other people in my life, you know, Mike, you faced so much adversity. Yeah, I have. And yes, I still hold out hope, because what else do I have other than to hope for the best? But when I heard this song, I'm like, okay, the line of, here's to the hopeless, though, the ones that were chosen last or whatever. But like in kindergarten and elementary, I was always the last kickballer to be chosen. Like, I don't, we, you know, you watch any of those movies with the bullies and the whatever's, oh, the puniest, scrawniest kid. Oh, we don't want him on our team. Put him on your. I was always the last one to be chosen, kind of thing. But then I look at this and I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, I see it. Now, I will say that my mom was Roman Catholic. She eventually went Baptist in the 90s, but I've never really been my previous stepmother in the 90s when I was living with my dad and my stepmom in Kentucky. They basically told me I had to go to church. If I didn't go to church, I would get grounded. Never had. It's not that I don't have my own personal relationship with God. I don't like sitting in a leaky creek. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, yep. It's pretty much. I don't need that thing to know that I have. So when they release a song with the line of, here's to the hope, you know, here's to the hopeless, remind, you know, when Karen and I got together, the biggest thing was we were always big believers in each other. We were always supportive, just like any couple should be. Always support each other. Not no matter what, but in most times, always support each other kind of thing. And this song just like rips into my soul pretty much.
Well, I absolutely get why it connects with you. My only pushback will be this, which is, you did say I hold out hope, and if you hold out hope, you can't be hopeless.
Well, that's true.
Says but I have no hope. But here's now. True. I was thinking about this and thought, I really value our friendship. So, do you really want to say this to him? But I'm going to be brave, Mike. So, we talked earlier that there isn't a ballad on the album, but this is probably the closest to it. And I mentioned about people doing cover versions. Do you know who I could see doing that on the next album as the big rock power ballad? Adele. You may not. Okay, you may not talk to me again.
You want to know something crazy?
Go on.
What is her song, The Deep? What is, yep, is it going Rolling in the deep? Rolling in the Deep. BSC covered it. So if she was to cover this...
You're joking. I didn't realize.
No, that. I'm not even kidding. Honestly, yeah, they...
Honestly, I think that is a brilliant... I mean, a great version from them, but that is just the classic rock power ballad. Fantastic chorus and everything. So, hey, yeah, who knows? Maybe we should just ping her agent and tell them what to do.
Hey, are you looking for a new cover of a song that you might not have thought of? This might fit in your this might go deep in your wheelhouse, Miss Adele.
Well, she's covered Dylan. She's she's got a fantastic voice. But it's a brilliant song.
No, I love the song. And even though it is a salute to the hopeless and the broken, and it's still a powerful. Even though the title of the song is "Here's to the Hopeless," like I said, I still hold out hope. It's still giving me hope. Like,
it's uplifting, even though it's challenging.
And that's the good thing with this band and with any band that decides to do something like this. With Blackstone Cherry, they've always wanted to be that uplift. Like, yes, put a message in the song, but be uplifting, be positive when you can. Don't be the negative side of rock. Don't be the let's just do drugs and
and that comes across when you see them live, that they are there to 100%. Give you, they are there to give you a great experience. But as you said before, it doesn't mean you can't write and talk about serious, challenging stuff, but still have a positive message. And I guess that's a lovely link to the final song, isn't it? Because the final song title and message is "You Can Have It All," which that's good news, isn't it?
Yep.
Here we go.
I swear, John Fred Young is the Energizer Bunny of drummers. It just keeps going and going and going.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great, great, great way to finish. And I say, lovely message. I love the line of, well, two lines. Remember, the leap of faith is bigger than the fall. Yeah. And then the other one is first steps are much bigger than we know. And you mentioned it before, you know, I think back to finishing recording, being a guest with Jesse and going, have you got 5 minutes to talk to him about podcasting? And little did I know how significant that little step was. So, yeah, great, great way to finish. And it's probably nearer my top 10 albums of the year than it was an hour and a half ago, Mike. So thank you.
Well, that's good. Yeah. If I was to pick a top three off this album, just songs on their own, most definitely it would be Show Me What It Feels Like. Show Me What It Feels Like, Here's to the Hopeless, and You Can Have It All.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. I'd certainly have Out of Pocket. I think I'd have Here's to the Hopeless. And, probably Nervous. But I'll let you know when I've listened a bit more. But thank you so much. It's been an absolute delight.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, folks, we're going to go to a quick ad break. You're going to hear some ads and some other stuff. And we will come back to mention the bonus tracks that are on that were on the digital deluxe version of this. It's nothing super special, but we'll mention those and then we'll close the show right after this.
Hi, I'm Terry Smith, the host of Music Talks, the podcast where I ask guests a simple but beguiling question. Choose a song from each decade of your life and tell me why these songs mean so much to you. Guests and listeners love this format, and if you want to find out why, then take a listen at musictalkspod.buzzsprout.com or use your favourite podcast app. Just search on Music Talks Terry Smith. If you'd like to be a guest on the show and talk to me. Then send me a tweet at Music Talks Pod. I look forward to doing some music talking soon.
Do you know John Hiatt songs?
Maybe you know them from being covered by Roseanne Cash, Three Dog Night, the Neville Brothers, Emmylou Harris, Eric Clapton, B.B. King, Jeff Healey, Bonnie Raitt, or literally hundreds of others.
Maybe you have some of his albums on your shelf or in your cow-horned Cadillac right now.
I'm Jesse Jackson.
And I'm Sylvan Groff.
And we're going to dive in from A to Z. Join us on the Perfectly Good Podcast.
We're going to discuss all of your favorites and uncover some forgotten gems from Aces Up Your Sleeve to Zero House.
Rate and debate every John Hiatt song on the Perfectly Good Podcast. Have a little faith.
Cheerscast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. Slide up to the bar alongside Ryan Daly and a rotating cast of guest hosts as they celebrate the long-running, award-winning television series, one hilarious episode at a time. New episodes of Cheerscast drop every Thursday, part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
We are back here on GeekCast Radio. This is episode 321. And if we get to 1, 2, 3, 4, of course, Terry has to be on it. Now that you said that, thanks. See? You've cursed me.
Absolutely.
Of course, I am a podcast machine. And I, you know, if I say, oh, by the way, Terry, in a year and a half, oh, by the way, we're up to 1,230.
You and Jesse. I just don't know.
No, Jesse is, oh, my God. I was editing stuff for him for a while. And he's like, he's twice my age. I'm like, how? He just as of this episode, folks, Jesse just in September just finished up 30 straight days of recording, releasing episodes for Set Listing. I'm ridiculous. Like, how did you do that? How did you do that? Oh, my. He's more of a podcast machine than I am. So, Terry, tell everybody about your lovely little show, Music Talks Podcast, please.
So Music Talks is a show where I get a guest to choose a song from each decade of their life and basically talk me through why those songs are so important to them. And therefore, we get a lot of music nerdery, which I love, but we also get a lot of life stories, which is another passion. So, yeah, it's Music Talks Podcast. You can get it at musictalkspod.com. Or on any of the major apps. There is sadly more than one Music Talks now, so if you have any trouble finding it, just search on Music Talks Terry Smith and that will get it. Thank you.
So when did the other one start? Because if the other one started after you started yours, then you can go to them and say, hey, you need to change your title.
It's too hard, too hard.
Brother, let me tell you. There have been plenty of times where people are like, ooh, we want to do all things. Nope. My buddy Steve Megatron, who started the GCRN with me. Nope. We've had that since 2008. You can't. You need to figure out a different name. We will fight our name.
I've got to tell you, I had on Facebook today, because I just, all of that stuff just gets, I say, for me, too hard. But it popped up was a post about someone selling tickets for Taylor Swift in Edinburgh next year. And I would like to see Taylor Swift live. I actually think she's very talented. And I looked at it and I thought, yeah, this is a scam, isn't it? But I'm going to respond just to see what I get. And here's the genius of what they're doing. They're selling tickets in section 125, row 1, seats 3 to 6. Do you know the slight problem with that, Mike?
There is no.
There is no section 125 at Murrayfield. So I'm currently just playing them along and having some fun with them. But yeah.
Oh boy. There we go. I don't know what Terry and I are going to do next. I'm sure at some point or another, it'll be another Blackstone Cherry thing, or if I can convince him to do certain other things on his own lovely show, it might be that. Who knows? But we have this week, this episode, we've got the next step. We've got 321, 322, and 323 all coming up over the next 3 weeks. As you've heard in this episode, Terry Smith and I have gone through Blackstone Cherry's Screaming at the Sky 8th studio album. Next week, I planned this after the fact. Next week, Jesse Jackson and I are going to go back 40 years ago to 1983 when Daryl Hall and John Oates released Rock and Soul Part 1. So there's going to be that. And then in episode 323, Steve Megatron is going to make his triumphant return to Geekcast Radio, and we're going to talk about being upset. We're going to talk about the whole concept of being obsessively compulsive geeks. So obsessive compulsive geek disorder, because we have a lot of geeky disorders.
So that's OCG rather than OCD. Yeah. Oh, that's very good. That's very good.
It's OCGD. So it's just another way to say, God damn it.
You're the man who put the G into OCD. Uh-huh. There you go.
Yep, absolutely. All right, folks. Thank you for joining us here on Geekcast Radio. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts. Leave us reviews, please. Spotify and any other podcatching client you choose to use. Follow us on X, as that's what it's called now, at Geekcast Radio. I am at TFG1 Mike. Are you still using that platform or no? I know you are at Music Talks Pod on Twitter, but I don't know if you still use Twitter.
I don't really post on there anymore.
Okay. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. You can also check out TFG1 Mike over there, as well as Music Talks Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode of GeekCast Radio. Wish you'll join us next time. As I said, Jesse Jackson will be here, and we're going to talk about Rock and Soul Part 1, Hall & Oates' 1983 album, 40 years ago this October. Holy crap. Yeah. For now, I am TFG on mic with
Terry Smith from Music Talks.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
I need to dash and go and watch some very important soccer, but we will.
Please tell me you had that recorded, because I need to use that line everywhere now.
It's recorded. Yep. Soccer. Yep. I'm going to go and watch some football, mate.